Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's an awesome, awesome day. It's an awesome day. Not because I'm preaching, but it's because God's here with us. And, you know, one of the things I love about God is, and the relationship that, you know, we have with the Lord is when you ask him something, he actually answers you. Right? Maybe that's just me, but that's what I love about him, right? And, you know, this morning I just asked, I said, you know, Lord, what do you want to be for your people today, right? Because I think it's good sometimes to ask that. You know, what does he want to be for us today? And I just felt him say, I want to be the lifter of their heads. I also want to be their peace today. And I also want them to experience my joy today. And so, wherever you're at, I just want to just quickly pray that that's who he would be for you today. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are our peace. You are the lifter of our heads. And, Father, in you we have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And so, Father, whatever heart needs to experience this today, I thank you that you will come and that that experience will be real, it'll be tangible, and Father, that we would not leave here the way we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, one of the things I love about summer, one of the things I love about life is food. It's food, dessert. I just love these things. And one of the things I love is experiencing new foods, new restaurants. You know, I love flavors, different flavors from all over the world. I love that stuff. I know many of you love that as well. You love your food, you love your flavors, you love your spice and stuff. And, you know, reading, you know, in culinary, and Johnny, you can keep me honest, there are actually five elements to creating a well-balanced plate. You have salt, sour, sweet, bitter, and something called umami. And so with those things, they say that actually creates a well-balanced dish. Sorry. Is there a way to get feedback up here? Sorry, that distracted me. And so one of the things I love about, so that's one of the things I love about food. But if anybody knows me, my main course is not the food itself. My main course is dessert. And yes, I love dessert. And if anybody knows me, you know what kind of dessert I love. I love, nope, not cake, but I love ice cream. I love ice cream. And I mean, I've had it all. You know, I've had, you know, sorbets to heavy 1,000%, you know, ice cream. I've had, I've had gluten-free. I've had vegan. I've had plant-based. I've had gelato, you name it, I've experienced it, because I love ice cream. And one of the things I love about ice cream is the different flavors it comes in, right? I love the different flavors that you can experience with ice cream. But sometimes the flavors are atrocious. I don't even know how they come up with this stuff sometimes. You know, like a lavender chocolate chip. Who says that lavender goes in ice cream? Not me. Right? But I love it. I just love experiencing different ice creams. But the thing about ice cream or dealing with flavors and with people is that everybody has their own opinions. Right? All of us love the fact that I may love chocolate, but you may hate chocolate. You may love vanilla.
and I hate vanilla. I love peanut butter, but I can't have peanut butter because Zara's allergic to peanut butter and I can't have it. So I sneak out and I get it when she's not around. Don't worry, she knows. And Trish knows. But everybody responds to ice cream flavors differently based on their palate or experiences. And I've noticed that when it comes to the context of favor, which is what we've been speaking on, I think we treat favor as we treat flavors of ice cream. Is that we all have this different opinion. We all think that favor is something when it's not. Based on our experiences, based on our ideologies, based on whatever people are saying, when really there's actually one flavor of favor. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the flavor of favor. And so, please, I apologize, but I don't apologize. I don't have any PowerPoints because of something that happened with the red and white, which I'm not going to name. And, you know, but I do know a reliable network, you know, and they're purple and white. And if anybody wants, you know, to experience that, come and talk to me. I'm joking. But that's why we don't have, didn't have a chance to put some notes. But guess what? That means you're just more attentive now to hearing what God wants to say to us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Such a great, 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 great verse, right? So how many of us know that you don't become a new person by changing your behavior? A lot of us want to change our own behavior. We can't. What we should be doing is saying, what's the behavior of Christ, and align with that, right? What's his behavior? In Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so the first thing we have to understand is favor is birthed out of relationship. That's how favor began. The Father and the Son, they had this relationship. And now we are just part of that inheritance because of what Jesus did. And so we are not given favor by who we are, right? Despite what we may think, despite what the world may think, we don't have favor because of who we are. The only reason we have favor is because of Jesus in us. That's the only reason. And so God, in his brilliance, puts us into Christ and Christ into us so that we would always favor, so that he would always favor us with the same favor that he has for Jesus. Whether we are doing well or we're doing badly. That is good news. Okay, amen. That's good news. The fact that God would say, "I'm going to put you into Christ and I'm going to put Christ into you so that you can always experience the same favor that I have for Jesus," you can experience that too. That's beautiful. So on the days that you're feeling you're on the top of the mountain and everything is great, and the days when you feel like you want to fall off the mountain, guess what? His favor is still the same. His favor is still the same. So it doesn't matter to God in whatever context you find yourself in. If you feel like you're doing badly, guess what? God's favor will enable you to do better. And if you feel as though you're doing really well, guess what? God's favor will enable you to do better. Why? Because he's unchanging. He's unchanging. He is consistent and continuous. Just like his love, it will never end. Guess what? Turn to your neighbor and say, his favor will never end. See, favor is God's acceptance and his approval for you and for me. Favor is all about you maturing into all that God has for you and me. And at the end of the day, God knows that we are still learning. How many of us are glad that we are still learning? I am. See, he doesn't expect you to know it all and have it all together. He doesn't expect that. If he did expect it, then guess what? He wouldn't have given you Holy Spirit, because you could have done this thing by yourself. And that's why his grace is endless. And that's why he has so much patience for you and for me. But the worst thing we can do about favor is cheapen it and reduce it to only being about things, places, people, etc., etc., etc. Because favor is so much bigger than those things. And that's what I want to help us to understand today. And so we can't allow favor to taste differently than how it was intended to taste. Right? You're going to see a lot of play on flavors, and so that's fine. But the first thing I want us to understand is, when it comes to doing with flavors, you will see that there is artificial and there is authentic. Right? I remember being young, we would just eat whatever we wanted, didn't care, I don't even think there was this artificial and natural thing or authentic thing. We just ate whatever we ate. You know, a popsicle was a popsicle, even if it had orange dye, if it had green dye, whatever it was, we just ate it, even though it was filled with artificial stuff. Now we live in this world where everything is, you know, we shun the artificial, which is good. And everything that is authentic, we grab hold on. Anything that's natural, we want more of that because it's better for us. The same in the spirit, where I kind of equate authentic and I kind of equate artificial with truth versus lies. Because artificial stuff is a copycat. It's a lie. It's not natural. Authentic is the real thing. It's truth. And one of the things that, one of the stories I want us to kind of go over, we went over it, I think at the beginning of the year, but in Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 1 to 18. So once again, it's not up here. So if you do have your Bible, if you have your Bible app, all that kind of stuff, then let's turn to it, flip it, click it, whatever you need to do. And when you're there, I haven't said this in a long time, say, there we go. I haven't said that in a long, long time. Okay, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth. That was a hard one. Between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Siphon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who are marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see it, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory to Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen." And then after that, Moses does that, stretches out his staff over the sea parts, they cross over. And then Pharaoh and the army try to go in after them, and they die. Just as the Lord said, God gets the glory. But the truth and the lie I want us to expose with this, there are three, and of course there are many more. One is fear versus faith. Because you see, when we allow our focus to be centered around us and our problems, our circumstances, our emotions, what we do is then that God's favor kind of gets shut down, and we open this door to fear. We open this door to fear. And sometimes on our journey with God, we actually limit his role by our fears. What do I mean by that? Sometimes, all the time, God wants to be God in your situation. But for whatever reason, you allow fear to not let God be God. And even in his sovereignty, he wants to be God for you. But he knows that if this fear is there, he has to kind of deal with that fear first so that you can actually receive all that he has for you. You get that? You with me? Yeah. Okay, thank you. So it's hard for him to be God for us when we walk in fear. And that's why we have to get rid of that fear in our hearts and in our lives. And the same way with the children of Israel and this story that we just read. This is what happens when conflict happens. Conflict happens in every single one of our lives. And guess what? We have two things. Conflict happens, and our response is either we have faith or it's met with fear. And at the end of the day, God wants for that conflict to be dealt with by faith, by us believing in him. It's by us trusting in him. One of the things that I kind of understood kind of this week is actually there is a difference between trust and faith. Because trust, we have to trust something before we can put faith in it. Right? I always, in my head, I was like, well, faith is trust. You know, like, no. We trust Jesus, and that's why we believed in him. We trust that he is good, and so we believed in him. We trust that he has our back, so we believe in him. And so let us not kind of get that twisted, okay? Don't get that twisted. But what do you do when favor actually feels like failure sometimes? What do we do? I know all of us in here have felt that at some time or another. God, I'm walking in favor, but why does it feel like failure all around me? I'm walking in favor. You say that I have favor, but I went for that job interview and I didn't get it. You said I have favor, but I went to get that home. I'm still waiting for a home. You said I have favor, but why does it feel like failure? I have good news for you. That's why favor is not based on feeling. It's not based on feeling. Favor is based on who he is and how he wants to give it to you in that situation at that time. Remember, he doesn't change. So that means whatever circumstance you're in, he doesn't change. The second point is insecurity versus security. Insecurity versus security. See, the enemy will always come to threaten our security in Christ. The children of Israel were threatened when they saw that they were out in a desert and Pharaoh was going to kill them. That's what they thought. You brought us out into this desert for us to kill? We'd rather be in Egypt. We were better off there. Insecurity crept in, and the enemy had them right where they wanted. The enemy had them, instead of them moving forward, the enemy had them wanting to go back to Egypt because of insecurity. Adam and Eve had favor with God. They were made in the image of God. But the serpent comes along and says, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. See, the enemy told Adam and Eve that they didn't have something that God revealed that they did have. Did you get that? And that's what the enemy comes and he does with us. He comes in and he tries to tell you something. He says, you don't have favor. God doesn't love you. You're not the righteousness of God. He's angry with you. You're nothing. You think he's going to accept you because of what you did yesterday? And he comes. And the enemy comes. And he comes. So that he can place insecurity in each and every single one of us. Because you see, insecurity is actually security that's been compromised. What I mean by that, I don't know about you, but you know, old school security systems, you just had a bat by the door. And you say, okay, if somebody comes in, I know where my bat is, and I'm going to get them. Now we have these sophisticated, you know, security systems, right? We have an app, and I can lock my door right from here, and I can open the door, and I can open my garage door, and everything can happen just from pulling out my phone. Bang, it happens. But once somebody gets into your security system, bypasses it, gets through your front door, the security that you had in place is compromised. The security that we have in Jesus can never be compromised. Thank you. So don't allow the enemy to creep insecurity in you. Why? Because you're secure in him. Why would God put you in Jesus? The most secure place that he can ever put a person is in Jesus. But why would he put you there if that security would be compromised? He would never do that. And so know that you're safe in him. And so fear, stress, anxiety is there to take you away from your security in Jesus. That's what it is. It's there to take you away from it. And so my identity in Christ is my security from every negativity that will try to come through the walls of my heart. I'll say that again. My identity in Christ is my security from every negativity that will try to come through the walls of my heart. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 16 says, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." Those are your folks. And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Amen. How many of you are thankful that he knows you by name? Yes, sir. Amen. So the third thing, rest versus anxiety. Rest versus anxiety. And I know we live in this, it just seems like anxiety, stress, worry just creeps up more and more and more and more. But how many of us know that that was never God's intention for you? Actually, it was never your design. You were never designed for stress. You were never designed for worry. You were never designed for anxiety. What you were only designed for was rest. Meaning, God is up with the, Jesus is with the Father, sitting at the right hand. If I had a stool, I would sit down on it, and he's just sitting at a place of rest, chilling, relaxing. And that's what his intention is for us, is relaxation and rest. And whenever God leads us into a place, into a position, it's always towards a place of victory. And you've heard that, we've said that many times, that we don't fight towards victory, but we fight from a place of victory. See, circumstances might not bow to favor right away, but that doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Right? It doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Why? Because favor is unchanging. And the way he sees you is unchanging. So every single situation or circumstance we have, there is a rest made available in that issue, no matter how hard and how difficult it is. We are seated in heavenly places. That's what Ephesians 2:4-6 says. We're seated with him. And that's why we are supposed to focus our mind on things that are above. Why? Because that is where Christ is seated. Amen. Right? That's where he's seated. To know that our God is seated on the throne. And that is where we can put our expectation and anticipation in. See, we are learning how to respond from a place of rest and not resistance. I'll say that again. We are learning how to respond from a place of rest and not resistance. I always tell my family, listen, we don't have to fight from a place, like we don't have to be defensive followers of Christ. That's not who we are. Right? Why do we always have to defend? We're in a place of rest, of relaxation. And when opposition comes, we stand. When opposition comes, we are not moved.
And I think at a time like this, the church needs to stand. Despite what is going on around us. And so we are learning that favor is actually a lifestyle that we walk with Jesus. It's a lifestyle. Knowing that it's favor is not something we ever have to work for. The world says you work for favor. The world says you need to network. The world says you need to work harder. Favor says you just be you. But before we all say amen, just understand that favor doesn't replace hard work. I'll leave that with you. And so when we practice a lifestyle of rest, we relinquish all control and all our trust and dependence are on God. That's what we do. We relinquish all control. And we say, God, this is yours. And so we have to establish in our hearts and minds how God sees me in Christ. Why? Because like we said, favor is birthed out of relationship. And at the end of the day, it's really the way we see favor will always be how we view our relationship with Christ. Is he angry with you? Does he think you've fallen short? Does he think you don't measure up? Does he think because you sinned yesterday that, no. You sinned yesterday, now you're going to get some consequences. When Jesus died on the cross, he took all that stuff. He took that old man, that old way of thinking, nailed it on the cross so that you would no longer have to worry about killing lambs and sacrifices and, you know. But now you are in Christ. And the moment you said yes to Jesus, favor came and said, I favor you. I favor you. And so no matter what you've done yesterday, this morning, last week, 3 years ago, 50 years ago, once you came under the blood of Christ, you accepted Jesus in your heart, you were made clean. Guess what? He favors you. And I know I'm kind of, okay, Kevin, can you move on? Like, I get it. I don't think we get it. Because favor changes us. Favor brings liberty. Favor brings freedom. Why? Because I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. It was this free gift that he gave me. And so for us to boast, be like, man, I got some favor. No, it was nothing you did. But all because of what Jesus did. And the Father said, you know what? When I look at Jesus in you, I see favor. When I see Jesus in you, I can do nothing but smile. When I see Jesus in you, you are more than enough. When I see Jesus in you, I see grace, I see mercy, I see everlasting love. Because I see Jesus in you. And so favor, I went off somewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 says, but for us, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. And so favor is not a reward. It's a relationship between the Father and the Son that now includes us, which we've kind of established now. And we are joint heirs with Christ. And that's why favor is ours, because of this joint relationship that we have with Jesus.
But the one thing we always have to understand is we have a permanent position in Christ. It's permanent. Right? It's permanent. Sorry, honey. There's nothing you can do to get out of it. It's a permanent state. And that's how you're going to stand. That I stand with favor. He favors me. He favors me. I dare even throughout the whole day, no matter what happens, he favors me. Now, it doesn't mean that you go give attitude and this and that and be like, he favors me. But that person, I don't know. God extends some more favor to that person. No, it's unchanging. And then I'm going to wrap up. One of the interesting things when I was looking at this is 5 is a number of grace. And I looked at things and I was like, wow, 5 is a number of grace. And you were like, how did I get to that? Because I looked at the word favor and in the Bible, it's actually spelled F-A-V-O-R. And then, but I know we want to be different here in Canada, so everything ends in O-U-R. But I went with what the Bible said, you know, even though maybe Americans wrote it, whatever the case is. So favor is spelled what? F-A-V-O-R. And I was like, favor. What's this thing about number? And I was like, how many organs do we have? 5 major organs. How many elements the food, sorry, for a good dish? 5. Salt, sweet, bitter, umami, and sour. Right? How many senses do we have? 5. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. 5. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. 5. Mercy. M-E-R-C-Y. 5. Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. 5. You can even throw in peace, P-E-A-C-E, peace. Cross, C-R-O-S-S. Can I get another one? Anyone? Can I get another one? Okay, sold, 5. Kevin, yes. What does this all have to do? 5 being a number of grace. Your organs are vital with those 5 things. The elements of food to create a well-balanced dish requires those 5 things. Your senses, all of them, working together requires all those 5 things. 5 being the number of grace. I would say and submit to you today that grace, G-R-A-C-E, and understanding grace and favor, the cross, peace, mercy, faith, all those things is vital for our experience with Christ. You know, in closing, one of the things that I was driving home this week, and I had just come back from a meeting, and I felt good. I was like, man, that meeting was great. You know, I closed that deal. That was a good one. And I was just looking at it, I just thinking with God, and I said, Lord, man, it's such wonderful to have experiences with you. It's so wonderful. And then I was looking at my family. And that same day, all of us were having great experiences, you know? I mean, Zara was helping out at dance and volunteering and helping out with the kids, and she loved every minute of it. You know, Amelia was having fun, you know, at someone's house and stuff and having a ball. And then, you know, Trish and Olivia, right, they were doing, they're on, they were doing something. That's top secret. I can't tell you until it comes out. But they were having a great experience as well. And I thought to myself, God, it's these experiences that we have in you is wonderful. And that's what made me think about favor and how the lie is we limit favor to experiences. When it has really nothing to do about our experiences, the experiences are just a byproduct of his goodness towards us. And I thought to myself, as a church, we need to understand that favor is with us all the time. And it doesn't matter if you're good, bad, ugly, you know, beautiful, whatever it is, in a matter of the way we act, not appearance. But it doesn't matter how we act. His favor doesn't leave you. But it's our job to understand and to realize that I do walk in favor with God. He is pleased with me. He does delight in me. And everything that I do is because of who Jesus is in me and nothing of myself. And that's why the Bible says that that it's not by works so that we may boast, but it's because of him, his goodness towards us. And that's what favor is his goodness towards us. And I'll leave you with this. The purpose of favor is to lead you and me into being the perfect representation of the heart and nature of God. And when we align our lives according to this authentic truth, the flavor of favor is always S-W-E-E-T, sweet. Because that's what it is. Amen? Amen. Amen.